I'm joined on the line right now with Enrique Morones. He is a participant and an organizer in a March for Migrants. It's a caravan that is currently underway that began just a few days ago in San Diego and is working its way to Washington, D.C. by the end of the month. Welcome to the program, Enrique.
Glad to be with you.
So where are you guys right now?
Right now, we're on our way to Phoenix, Arizona. We started the march on February 2nd from the border right at the wall where Guillermo Martinez Rodriguez was assassinated by the Border Patrol, the very wall that was built and started to be built in October of 1994 that has led to the death of over 4,000 people as they've tried to cross from Mexico to the United States. And I think it's one of the things that people don't know about it, that there's two or three people dying every day, not only because they die of heat in the desert or cold in the winter, but they're also being shot by the Border Patrol, like Guillermo, who was shot in the back. Once he saw that the Border Patrol had seen him, he was heading back, and there was no need to shoot him. So that was the final straw. So I got together with some of the various organizations and activists that I work with, and I said, we're going to do a caravan to Washington first. And we, you know, are you guys with me? And people said, sure. And my organization, which is Border Angels, right away said, let's help and support Enrique. We'll do this. So Border Angels and Gente Unida, another organization that I'm one of the founding members, we said, let's go and do it. So we started this caravan, went from San Diego to the Imperial Valley, which is a couple of hours from San Diego, and we placed 400 crosses in the grave site where 400 unidentified migrants are buried. We had a rally at the wall where we met with other like-minded organizations during the Minuteman crisis of the summer and held a rally there with the Braceros, and it's just gone from there. And every day it's a different adventure. It's been really well received, and we've worked our way up California. Now we're done with California and we're heading towards Arizona.
One of the questions I wanted to ask, you mentioned a couple things of importance, I think, for our listeners here. Things that have certainly touched on the lives of migrants living in the USA over the last few years. You mentioned the Minutemen, and one thing in particular that this caravan is mobilized around is new legislation that was just passed in the U.S., Bill H.R. 4437. Can you tell us about this legislation? I don't think many listeners here in Canada know what this is.
Sure, absolutely. Well, it was passed in the Congress. It hasn't been passed in the Senate yet, and that's one of the reasons there was the urgency to grow across the country. And if you want, I can go ahead and tell you the entire route we're going to do. But first, I'll answer your question about the legislation, because it's important that as we go across the country and visit various cities and visit with various groups of people, we get their feedback on what's happening in their community and if they know about this law that may pass, especially by the right-wing, racist-controlled Republican Party right now. So what H.R. 4437 talks about is the expansion of Operation Gatekeeper, which is the wall between San Diego and Tijuana, which is literally a wall. It's a fence that was built. And it was built by the landing strips that were used in Vietnam and then in the first war that Papa George initiated. So the landing strips, which are metal strips that were used in the desert, that's what the wall is made of. It's literally a wall. But it only covers part of the border. Well, H.R. 4437 would cover the entire U.S.-Mexico border from the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf of Mexico. And it's not only going to be very expensive, but even if that wall was 100 meters high, 9/11 still happens. So they're trying to close off the southern border, which we think is absolutely insane and a violation of human rights, because Mexico, like the United States, are neighboring countries. They're not the threat. And we should be working together with our neighboring countries, not against them. So that's one of the things that H.R. 4437 does. Another thing it does is it criminalizes organizations like mine. I head up Border Angels. What we do is we go out to the desert in the summer, to the mountains in the winter, and put water and blankets and food for the migrants so that they don't die. We don't help them across. We don't encourage them, nothing like that. People are coming like they've been coming for hundreds of years, and they are going back to their homeland. As you know, the United States invaded Mexico in 1846, it took half its territory, and these people have been coming here for hundreds of years to work the fields, and they're continuing to do it, but now they're forced to cross in the desert in the summer and the mountains in the winter. Thus, 4,000 people have died. Thus, we're planting 4,000 crosses across the country on this caravan. Well, it would criminalize our activity because we're helping migrants, so that's another thing that the law does. Another thing that it does is it makes the makes it like sort of like Gestapo Nazi Germany type of era, where we're supposed to look at our neighbor and say, I think that person might be undocumented. I better report that person. And lo and behold, if it's an employee of yours, if you hire somebody, and we're not immigration officials, so how do we know if that document is false or not? We hire somebody and it ends up that they're undocumented, we'll be charged with a felony, and it's 5 years in prison plus a tremendous fine. The migrants that are coming here to support the economy of this country as well as their homeland, they would be treated as felons and not misdemeanors like it is now. They would be incarcerated for 5 years, regardless of the fact that they're leaving two kids behind and the wife is sick and so forth. So it makes it a criminal, it criminalizes the undocumented person situation. It makes our work criminal. It builds the wall between the two countries all the way across the border. And it also has spying and Gestapo-like tactics to be implemented in this country, which is something that is very much in step with this administration, the George Bush administration. So,
you also brought up the Minutemen before, and of course, the Minutemen are also an issue to folks here in Canada, as some of our listeners may know. They began operations up on the U.S.-Canadian border just this past October. You also mentioned that an astonishing number of people, I believe 4,000 people, have died on the U.S.-Mexican border since 1994. Can you elaborate a little bit on the actual dangers that the border itself poses and how a group like the Minutemen would exacerbate some of those dangers?
Sure. The Minutemen movement is not a new movement here in the United States. Since the mid-1800s, when, like I said, the United States attacked Mexico and took half its territory, there's been the vigilante-like groups on the southern border, and they've been, committing hate crimes and acting as law enforcement, although they are a paramilitary group with racist intentions. They target a particular community, and this has been going on for a long time, the KKK with the African-American community and others, et cetera. Well, under this particular administration of George Bush, this came to rise to the top once again, this type of hate movement. And what happened was they felt like they could get away with it because they saw what was going on in the Congress and the Senate, the corruption, the hate laws, the invasion of sovereign nations like Iraq. So they said, let's get it going again. So they used the name that they've used in the past. These hate groups have used the Minutemen name before, referring to the Revolutionary Minutemen, which were the people that were ready in a minute to fight the British soldiers, I guess. But this is a whole different situation. They use that name because they want people to think it's patriotic. And this is the third time they've used it. In April of last year, they popped up in Arizona, and these guys were California native people that started these organizations with long racist histories, and they said they were going to protect the border from, according to their website, from the invasion, bring your baseball bats, fight the disease, and so forth. Well, we went to Arizona. Border Angels went to Arizona. We said, allow that to happen. We joined local organizations and did peaceful protests. But we realized that there was a real violent group coming from that sector to California, and we said we got to do something a little bit different, and that's when we formed Gente Unida. Myself and people from other organizations said, three or four organizations at first, we all said, let's do it. We did it, and now it's over 65 organizations. We successfully shut out the Minutemen this past summer when they were in Campo, California, and in Jacumba, because they went there to supposedly protect the border. But we went there and we camped right next to them. We made sure that the spotlights were on. They made a lot of noise. And I would say, well, protect them from what? And they would say, well, from drugs. And I go, yeah, drugs is a huge problem. It's a U.S.-bred problem because the United States has 5% of the world's population, and it consumes 80% of the world's illegal drugs. So if they want to stop the drug problem, start here at the United States. Terrorism, yes, absolutely. Nobody wants terrorism. So why don't we try to have a democracy in this country. When the Supreme Court elects George Bush to be the president, somebody that's not qualified, and we've seen his failed administration's results, well, all of a sudden, we say, you guys should join the National Guard or join the Army or something. But to have armed vigilantes on the border is not the solution. So they were a total failure. And one of the things that we argued about was, how come they're always attacking the Mexican people? So they started saying, oh, yeah, well, we're going to have Minutemen in the north. Well, we know that Canada, like Mexico, is not the problem. And the flow of the undocumented people comes from the south, not from the north. Although there are cases, of course, some of the people in 9/11 were, coming through the north. But it's not the Canadians, and it's not the Mexicans. It's people that either are homegrown, like Timothy McVeigh, they're homegrown Americans, or they're people that are coming from other parts of the world. because terrorism isn't particular to a country, it's particular to an individual. And that terrible date of 9/11 just heightened the alertness, and they want to blame somebody, they want to put their arms around somebody, and you can't do that to terror, but you can do a community, and they're doing it to our community, to the Latino community. And we're standing in solidarity with our Canadian brothers and sisters and saying, we're not going to allow these racist vigilante Minutemen to be on the border doing the work that Border Patrol and these other groups are supposed to be doing, because these people, the Minutemen, are hate groups. They're racist groups. Not every single Minuteman is a racist, but their leadership sure is. And there's plenty of documented cases of their failures and their abuse, being arrested, detaining people unlawfully, holding them at gunpoint, forcing them to wear certain clothes, beating them up, and we suspect killing people, because it was four shootings here in the Campo area, right where the Minutemen were camped out, not too far from us, and we had several confrontations with them. So we suspect that they have been shooting people as well.
Now, let's go back to this caravan that you're on. This as it's described, is a historic event. It's not every day that people pick up in Southern California and decide to move all the way to the East Coast to Washington, D.C. Can you talk a bit about, first of all, who's participating in this caravan and maybe some of the different stops you're making, what the goals are and everything like that?
Sure. Well, it started off just myself. When I said, let's do some sort of a caravan, and then I contacted some people that are very loyal and have been working with Border Angels or Gente Unida on various issues. And since I, preside over Border Angels and one of the founding members of Gente Unida, I called some of the loyal supporters, and immediately Vicente Rodriguez, who was with us in Campo quite a bit, well, actually, he was there the whole time, he goes, I'll join you. Micaela Salcedo, that was also there, she goes, I'll join you. So little by little, we started growing, and we have, besides the Border Angels and Gente Unida, we have a lot of the Mecha students, which are the Latino action groups on campus, which help empower the Latino community to continue with education and so forth. We had the Zapatistas in Sacramento and in San Francisco, where we marched down Mission Boulevard a couple of days ago in San Francisco. We have had the Southern California Human Rights Coalition that have joined us to participate in this historic caravan. We have had Organic Collective join us and say, we want to participate in this historic march and caravan, right up the alley of promoting human rights and being involved with justice for all people. We have had people join us from the Zapatistas movement for promoting human rights throughout the world. And everywhere we go, people say, I want to join, I want to participate. And, it's a very just cause. And it's good that you're going all the way to Washington. Plus, what we're doing is we're gathering the voices of people across the country so we can hear what they have to say, and they can tell us, don't forget to mention this or see what you can do to help us out with that. And that's what we're doing. So we went from Imperial Valley the first day to Riverside the second day, where we met with the Mecha students. And then that evening we met with Dolores Huerta, who was the co-founder of the United Farm Workers with Cesar Chavez. And she led us in a vigil on Friday night. On Saturday we went up to San Fernando Valley, and we met with new arrivals to the United States that want to become citizens. We talked to them about citizenship, and we also did a rally up there in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley area before heading up to Fresno to meet with the farm workers on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, we went to San Francisco, and we marched down Mission Boulevard after holding a peaceful and very lively demonstration in the Mission District there. And then we went to Sacramento yesterday, and we went to go tell the governor, hasta la vista, baby. But not because we're leaving, but because he's going to be leaving. We want to make sure that people that are in power now, that are that are taking this country in the wrong direction, are shown through the exit door, including Arnold Schwarzenegger. And today we're driving down. We're going to head over to Phoenix. Tomorrow we have a rally at 12 noon in Phoenix with the No More Deaths group, which is a group that helps migrants like Border Angels. And they're being called a group that's illegal because they helped some people the other day, and we're saying, we respond to a higher authority, which says, if I was hungry, did you give me to eat? If I was thirsty, did you give me to drink? And that's what we're doing. So we're going to do that tomorrow at 12, and then at 6 have a vigil in Tucson for part of the 4,000 people that have died in the last 3 years. 52% of the deaths are in Arizona, and most of them in the Tucson sector. So we'll be doing that and planting some crosses. Then we head to El Paso, which is right across the border from Ciudad Juarez, where there's been all the women that have died and disappeared, do a vigil there. And then we're going to go to San Antonio, do a protest in front of the Alamo. Then we're going to go to Victoria, Texas, and plant 19 crosses for the 19 people that perished in the back of a semi there. Houston, Dallas, and then we head across the country. Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. We'll do some tributes there before going to Atlanta and paying Lou Dobbs a visit in his racist show called Broken Borders. We're going to make a lot of noise over there and let him know that we're out there, even though I know he's in New York, but that's their headquarters. And we're going to then proceed on to North Carolina before the last 10 years or so, that there wasn't that many Latinos. Now there's the fastest growing community in North Carolina, the Latino community, so we want to pay our respects. And then we're going to go to Washington, D.C. from the 15th through the 18th to visit with senators and then do a rally on the 18th there in front of the Capitol building before heading back through the north, where we're going to go to Minnesota, Chicago, New Mexico, Nevada, Colorado. So we're going to go back and then head back to San Diego.
Great. So you're certainly covering a lot of ground over the next month. The last question I wanted to ask you, to kind of put what's happening not only within a historical context, but maybe also within a global context. Just last summer, a group of migrants here in Montreal walked for 8 days from Montreal to Canada's capital city in Ottawa. Also, just a couple months ago, we saw Sudanese refugees gunned down by Egyptian authorities in Egypt. I mean, clearly, all over the world, almost every single day, there's migrant folks who are having to stand up for their rights that are being denied. In this context, how do you see what you're doing in the bigger global picture of migration?
Well, this is a march for all migrants, because here with the United States having 5% of the world's population, it also only has 5% of the world's international migrants. There's 200 million migrants that are living in other countries, and the United States barely has 10 million of them. So they start talking about this undocumented situation, and the United States is always reaching out to people. I say, yeah, it's reaching out to people and taking 35% of the world's natural resources. It's reaching out to people and being the number one by far environmental destruction. You know, 35% of the world's environmental destruction is caused by the United States or United States companies. And I'm saying, so when we talk about practicing what you preach, what we're saying is this country, the United States, likes to talk about how great they are on human rights. And there's a lot of great people here. There's no doubt about it. But the leadership is going in the wrong direction, you know, starting with George Bush all the way down to Arnold Schwarzenegger and Tom Trancato and James Sensenbrenner, not too far from you there in Wisconsin. And so we're saying, you know, we want to take this country back, not in the literal sense. You know, even though I'm Mexican, and there's some people that believe in the Reconquista, to take back the country that was taken from us. Well, that's wrong. What took place? The United States invaded Mexico, and many sins that they've committed. But every country has committed sins, but maybe not as grave as the United States. And without a doubt, I would say not as grave as the United States. But the migrants situation is something that we should all be helping out our brothers and sisters. We're all of the same race, the human race. We're asking for dignity and humanity for our people. We're asking, whether the migrants are from Sudan or they're from Palestine or wherever they're from, they deserve basic human rights, and they're not getting it. They're not getting it in many cases. So this might be focused, because I'm Mexican, on the Mexican community, and the deaths at the border are 95% Mexican, but it's really for all of us. It's really for all of us. So we ask people to join us if they're Canadian. We had some people yesterday joining us from Australia, for example. So it's not only Latinos. You know, sometimes it's Anglo people, sometimes it's African-American, Asians, Indigenous, and they're all welcome to join us. And that's why this migrant march is for migrants and for justice for all migrants around the world. So this is going to be very, very important. We're, this is coming out of our own pockets. If people want to find out more information about us, they can look at www.borderangels.org, and then just look at our migrant march. There's one that says migrant map, which shows the map and the trail that we're taking. And if you want to make a donation, you'd be more than welcome, because, like I said, this is a grassroots effort. We're staying in people's houses. We're eating in people's houses. Everyone, got to buy gas. So maybe before we would have gone horseback or something, but we're living in a different era now, so we do got to pay for some things. So any help that can be given would be greatly appreciated.
We've been speaking with Enrique Morones, an organizer of the current cross-country migrant caravan. And is there anything else you'd like to add, Enrique?
I just like to say, join us along the way. Join us along the way. Check out the website. Join us along the way. Unfortunately, we're not going to go to Canada, because I love Canada, but this isn't about Canada. This is about the whole world, of course, but I mean, this issue, the 4437, is a domestic issue. So we want to say no to 4437, no more deaths, 4,000 deaths too many, and we want justice and dignity for all migrants. So join us in this cause. because united we can really make a difference. And I've always been very fond of the fact that we're the two neighboring countries to the most powerful military and economy in the world, and I've always had a deep love and respect for my Canadian brothers and sisters, and I've gone up there many, many times, and we hope that you can join us. Maybe up in when we go to Minnesota or we go to Chicago, and it's not too far for you, we'll see you there along the route.
Well, we'll definitely be checking back in with you by phone later on during your caravan. Enrique Morones, thank you very much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you very much. Keep up the great work with your show.